Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. You to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Welcome, Red Sox fans. Here are the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Welcome, everyone. The Bastards are back for another edition of Deep Dives. We are going to be talking mostly Red Sox starting pitching. We will probably dive into some minor league system related stuff as well. Some of that could actually be tied into the rotation. So those are going to be the main topics we get into. Job Goddard, Andrew Dwan back with me for this episode. Are you guys ready?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Start off with a question everybody wants to know. Have we seen the last Martin Perez bloodbath on a mound in a Red Sox uniform this year?
Yes. Keep it short and simple, yes.
I hope at least so.
In a game he starts. Let me preface that.
I would like to see that happen. I was the president, the vice president, and the treasurer of the Martin Perez fan club for most of this season.
He's Martin nowadays.
Martin. Yeah, he doesn't deserve the team. I hope that I never see Martin Perez start another game for the Boston Red Sox this season or going forward. And I think Andrew's right. This is it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a back and forth between whether it should be him or Richards and whatnot. And I think I said in the Sunday episode, Richards just translates a little bit better to the bullpen. I think he can find a couple of pitches that he can throw pretty well and be salvageable in that type of a role. Maybe a guy like Rios gets bounced out. I don't know if Andres is going to come back at all at this point. But I like Richards there. As far as Richards being in the rotation, he seems to have to come up with a new game plan every time, you know, whether it's a sinker he's going to throw or the changeup that he's been working on. It seems like Richards has a plan A every time he comes in, but never a plan B. And then once plan A starts to unravel, guys start to get on base, and Cora has had him on a short leash. But I'll just tell you now, I think Perez is straight up getting DFA'd because you got Hauk coming into the rotation. I think this is the last scheduled doubleheader we have. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure.
We have one with New York.
Oh, do we? Okay.
We have one with New York about 10 days from now, based on the rainout when we were in New York.
Okay, that's right.
So one more to go.
One more. Okay, so maybe they might want an extra body around somehow to fit into that doubleheader, but eventually we are going to get back to a five-man rotation. So I guess let's just get into that right now. Let's say 3 weeks from now, Andrew, we'll have you take the first shot at it. What's it going to be 3 weeks from now? Who's your 1 through 5?
All right. So for me, it is Chris Sale. I think he's pretty much, we know what that's going to be when he comes back. Well, that's actually a bold statement. We don't know what it's going to be, but just know who he's going to be. That is Chris Sale, and he'll be your number one. I think E-Rod, the numbers are a little deceiving. I think he's your number two. I think Nate Eovaldi is your number three. Maybe flip-flop that, lefty-righty, lefty, whatever. Your four, I think it's Pivetta. And your five, I think, might be Connor Siebold. I think they want to keep Tanner Houck as their bulk reliever. That's just been my thought this entire season. I thought that's where he'd be slotted in when everyone's healthy. I think he's just a huge weapon coming out of that bullpen. I love him as a starter, but I just think he provides an insane value if you have five other formidable starters.
Wow, okay, I was not going to go with that answer. So this is good. We don't have the same answer. My one, Chris Sale, obviously needs no further introduction. My two, Nate Eovaldi. This man puts the team on his back when you need him most. He's a competitor. We know what he can do in the playoffs. Nate Eovaldi is my two. E-Rod is my three, because every time you need a big outing from E-Rod, in the playoffs, he comes through. That's what he does. He's also pitching for a contract. It is a contract year for him. He's had a bad year. You know what makes teams forget a bad year? A good postseason. So hopefully, 3 weeks from now, he's your number three. Your number four, in my estimation, is Tanner Houck. I think Garrett Whitlock is your bulk guy in the pen. I think he's been stretched out enough to this point. He hasn't pitched in a couple of days, really, since the All-Star break. His innings are down. But it is time for him to take on that bigger role. I think he's going to be used one out of every 3 days instead of one out of every five as the season comes to a close. So I think he's your bulk reliever. And then I think Nick Pivetta is your number five, with Connor Siebold also in the pen. I think that because I think the Sox are unlikely to give up on Nick Pivetta so fast. But what you've seen from Tanner Houck has forced his way into the rotation. And I think that this start coming up against Toronto in this doubleheader is going to be the last time that there's a question mark as to whether or not Tanner Houck is a starter. I think he goes out and dominates, and from this week on, he's in the rotation. So for me, that's my five. Terry, your five?
Really quick, can I tell you why I don't think Garrett Whitlock's going to be our long guy?
Do it.
I think he's going to be your eighth inning guy. When all the chips are on the table, I think he is going to be bridging the gap to Matt Barnes.
Sign me up.
That's my thoughts.
Sign me up for high leverage innings for Garrett Whitlock. You could convince me by saying that. I just don't want him pitching in the sixth inning if you're going to have another guy in the bullpen. Terry, what are your five?
Well, I just add on to that. Ottavino has been struggling, but he did look good in his last time out. So hopefully that just continues and we're able to be flexible with Whitlock. But I kind of agree more with Job. I basically have the same 1, 2, 3 as you, as both of you, actually. Sale, Eovaldi, Rodriguez. Pivetta for now, sure. I do want to touch on some stuff with him in a second. But I agree that Tanner Houck is the guy. He's got a 2.45 ERA, short sample size. He's handled the Yankees so far. He's pitched some innings against Toronto and looked okay. He's handled two extremely potent lineups. And the talk coming into this season was that he was definitely going to be in the rotation. And he made one start against Baltimore in the first week, and then he was sent down. And then the elbow issues happened. Same thing with Seabold.
But he has been your first man up. Like, every time you needed a starter, it's been him, not Seabold.
It has been.
That's why I go with Tanner Houck.
And he can just handle it, though. He can handle it. And there's so many comparisons about Chris Sale with their arm slot and their slider being nasty, but he's got that aura about him on the mound where he owns it. That is his mound. And I just can't imagine he's not going to get the starts. Now, he's going to have, what, the Saturday start before Sale? So he's not going to have a ton of starts to really force the issue. So we'll see. But if he's strong on Saturday, and I think he will be, that's the one start that I said in the previous show that I feel really good about. I don't see him coming out of the rotation. But
so then here's my question. Out of the three of us, no one put Garrett Richards, no one put Martin Perez in the starting rotation.
Gone.
What are the corresponding moves for this new starting rotation? Who goes where? What's everybody's role?
Well, I mean, Richards has bullpen experience.
I agree with you, Andrew.
Recessed last year. I mean, yeah, and his stuff plays better. It's not an issue for him getting through the first inning like it's been Perez the last like three times out. You can cut bait with Perez and he'll probably clear. I'm not worried about it.
But that will almost certainly be the move. Like, he'll be DFA'd, Perez.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to. You can't do anything with Nick Pivetta. He's got no options.
Right.
I don't think you'd move him to the bullpen. I'd have more faith in him than a guy like Richards or Perez. So, I just think I don't know. I don't think it's much of a debate.
Would you consider DFA'ing a guy like a Yaxel Rios, who's been good, not great, for Martin Perez in the pen?
Mop-up role. Yeah. Brazier's coming back, too. He's been throwing live BP. I don't know. I can only take it one step at a time. They're not going to activate all these guys all at once. I think Robles and Rios are both guys that are expendable. I think those pitching acquisitions made at the deadline were kind of just like, you know, the pieces we got were giving away were nothing. So if these work out, they work out. If they don't, whatever. We have other guys in the system.
And they could, you know, they're perhaps not as taxed as some of our guys are.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, my question really, Andrew and Terry, this is for you as well, is if the playoffs started with this series with Toronto and everybody's healthy, because I look at this week as a playoff series. Andrew, you mentioned it on our last show. Alex Cora is going to treat this managerially like a playoff series. This next seven games is crucial. I was just talking to Terry about it before we got on the air. We could be in third place in the division by the end of this week. Or we could be four games clear. It's just a matter of how much we win, who we win against, how all the dice fall. If you were Chaim Bloom, assuming that everyone in the pitching rotation is going to be ready, what are you doing next week? Who are your guys? Who's getting DFA'd? Who's in the rotation? Who's in the pen?
Well, Perez will get DFA'd for Sale. I mean, that's probably the move, I would think.
Yeah, I think it, I don't think it's a question. Right. It's not like you didn't go to seven guy rotation.
Like there's not gonna be a move before Sale, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Sure, no, I agree with that. I would be surprised if Martin Perez is the first one to get the hook. I think the first call's gotta go to one of the nothing arms in the bullpen. One of those guys who just eats innings when you're losing. Because Perez can slot into that role. And I think he's more valuable in that role than, say, a Yaxel Rios. Right? So I think it's going to be a bullpen guy that goes for the corresponding move. But I would slot the bullpen like this. I want Josh Taylor to be my eighth inning guy. I want Matt Barnes to be my ninth guy. And I want some combination of Garrett Whitlock, and I can't believe I'm saying it, but Phillips Valdez to be that sixth, seventh inning or fifth, sixth inning bridge to the bullpen. I want the Red Sox to treat that bullpen down the stretch like the Yankees did when they had Britton, Chapman, and I forget who the third guy is, but from 2018, 2017.
Green.
Or even before that, they had the hard-throwing righty whose name escapes me as well.
Dylan Betances.
Dylan Betances. Yeah. So I want our bullpen to be treated like that. Like, because our starters can't give you more than five. They can't, based on a health status, based on who they are. The only guy who I want to go more than five in the playoffs is Chris Sale. Everyone else, like, just give me five. Give it to Josh Taylor. Give the ball to Garrett Whitlock. Matt Barnes. Like, these guys are good. But I just want five from the starters. And I think the five guys that you and I named, Terry, can give you five. I don't know what Connor Siebold is going to be yet. I think that's more of a lottery ticket option for me, Andrew, yet at this point.
Well, he projects out as a number three, worst case, maybe a number four, right? Siebold?
Yeah, he's like a safe to call him a four.
Okay.
Okay, so it's a safe four, and I think he's working his way into the rotation for Garrett Richards' his next turn. Like, that's my corresponding move.
Yeah.
Is move Richards to the pen, DFA Yaxel Rios, and then you bring up Connor Siebold.
Well, we're running a six-man rotation right now with Houck up, so I think Richards just kind of has to go away, really, and then you're back down to five. So I think an additional move has to happen for Siebold to be called up, whether that's a Rios like you were talking about, who's actually had some decent appearances.
He's been decent. I mean, I just don't think they'll give up on the guys they just traded for. And on top of that, I just don't see another spot where you DFA a guy, because everybody has major league experience. Everybody that you would DFA. And in that case, generally, you take the bullpen guy gets DFA'd and the starter gets moved to the bullpen, if that's a corresponding possibility.
It is. Here's another angle I want to throw out there. If Pivetta gets lit up his next few starts, and it could certainly happen. Toronto's got the lineup to do it. And then I don't think, let's see, he probably won't pitch against Tampa. I don't think so. But let's just say, for instance, he does get lit up the next three starts. Is he a DFA candidate if Siebold is pitching well?
No, he's way too cost controlled to do that. Yeah, he's making pennies. And the upside of him is too high.
Yeah.
Now, Terry, here's my answer there. I think he's scheduled to start the doubleheader against Toronto. I think he will get thrashed in that start. They've seen him now. This will be the fifth time they've seen him. That's like the most I can ever remember a team facing one starter in a regular season.
Yeah, they've hit him.
They're going to have his number. They're going to hit him hard. They've already hit him.
Right. Just
when he comes back out, his next start is Baltimore.
Wait.
If he gets thrashed by Baltimore, he might be tipping pitches or something. There's something going on there that concerns me, and I wouldn't be surprised if at that point he finds his way to the injured list for a little 10-day stint. You know, maybe that's just how they load manage. Some reasoning will be given why he's not pitching, but you're not going to DFA him. He's too good when he's on, and he's too cheap to the point where when he's not on, he's a lottery ticket at worst. Right now, we've got 5 lottery tickets on the team. We got 2 lottery tickets. They're splitting time at first base. It's like, which number are we going to read off? And then in the bullpen, you got a couple. We just traded for 2 of them. So I just think that he's the higher upside. He's like he's the millionaire's pool versus the state lotto. It's just they're different levels of possibility. I just don't see it happening.
I'm also looking ahead to next year where you're going to have Sale, Evoldi, Tanner Houck, Siebold. Yeah, so I guess Pivetta wouldn't be as expendable because you're probably not going to have Rodriguez. But Whitlock would be in there as well. So let's do that again. Sale, Evoldi, Houck, Whitlock. And then you could still put Pivetta number 5 over Siebold. And that's also assuming we're not going to make any free agent signings as well. So,
when was the last time a team went into a season with 5 starting pitchers?
Well, I even think without Pivetta, you're still going to have 6 viable starting pitchers at least. But
so if you take Pivetta out of that equation, You're looking at Chris Sale, Nate Eovaldi, Connor Siebold, Tanner Houck, and Garrett Whitlock.
That's 1 through 5. And then 6. You could sign a Scherzer, for instance. You could sign a Greinke. I'm not saying we will. I don't think we will, but
I don't think we will. The options are there. If they do go out and get a Scherzer type, you know, at this point, a 1A still in his career, going on 38, but a 1A. I'm okay with, you know, either Whitlock staying in the bullpen or Pivetta getting DFA'd either way. I mean, or you can trade Pivetta. He's a trade piece viable candidate. I'm okay with it if you're going to go get Max Scherzer. If you're going to tell me that you're going to try to slot in Zach Greinke at 37 years old, no thanks.
I'd still do it.
You get on the number 3, I'd rather have Nick Pivetta.
Well, I don't want to get too far down the road, even though the 2022 schedule did come out yesterday. I'm on record with saying I wouldn't be shocked if Whitlock started the season in the minors next year if they do plan on him being a starter. Because that
– I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they're not going to have him throw over the winter. I think it's until late in the winter. It would have been over 2 full years since he's been a full-time starter. That's going to take time to build up. And he's going to break down. He's going to have a setback. He's going to have a dead arm from trying to build that up. And he's going to have to work through some things with that. So I don't anticipate Garrett Whitlock being a starter in the opening day rotation.
If you look at the teams that are successful across baseball, every team has 6 viable starting pitching options. If you look at the teams that are in division races, they all have 6 viable starting pitching options. Think specifically of the New York Mets. The worst case scenario for the Mets is happening right now, where their number one, the number one in all of baseball, is out for an extended period of time. Their number 2 has been out since June in Carrasco, who made his return this week. And you're penciling in guys from the AA lineup to be your starting pitchers for 3-4 starts at a time. I don't want that. I would rather this team put Garrett Whitlock in the minors for 8, 10, 12 weeks than to go in with 5 starting pitching options that are the best 5 starting pitching options and no depth. Because the last time the Red Sox had every starter that they signed to be their 1 through 5 make all 30 starts, 2004. Teams just don't do that anymore. Guys throw too hard. They get hurt. They pitch too often. I don't see it.
You could be right. I mean, I haven't followed post Tommy John guys that closely. I would be surprised if spring training and maybe a program that starts a couple months before that couldn't get him to where he needs to be. But
I would see at that point, I think Andrew's timeline that he's talking about, and Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, Whitlock would be ready to start mid-May at the earliest.
Yeah, that would be my guess. I mean, in a regular year, you don't usually need all five guys like the first 2 weeks anyways. So you let him stretch out, let him work out whatever he's got going on, and you just push your other guys a little harder. And I don't think that the Red Sox pitchers as constituted this year, rotation and bullpen, are going to be anything like what we see next year.
I mean, we're now at a point where hopefully we'll be 2 years without competitive balance taxes. We're going to have three cheap starting pitching options that are viable in quality in Whitlock, Siebold, Hauk, and then also Pivetta. So of those four, three of those are going to be viable options at any given point. You paid Chris Sale already, his bullet of money. You're going to have money to work with, and I don't think you necessarily have to put it into the rotation at this point. I think that's a quality top six. You can go pay Xander Bogaerts.
And you have a guy like Dustin Pedroia coming off.
Possibly JD.
I hope he's back, but you have, I mean, Pedroia coming off. You have who's the kid that can't hit? Benintendi coming off. You still have Price
for one more year. Yeah.
The last year of that. Yeah, you have, I mean, you're freeing up about 15
extreme
and a half
flexibility,
million.
Right? Extreme yep. flexibility. You can go sign your Rafael Devers extension that Terry's been talking about, dreaming about for the last 2 years already. I just think that this rotation going forward into 2022 is in a great spot. Down the stretch, we're only in a great spot if Heim Bloom shows some balls. He needs to stop treating Garrett Richards as his first free agent signing in Boston. The guy with the great spin rate that we all love. No. Garrett Richards acts like his spot in the rotation belongs to him. Hell no. We're way past that.
Well, there's, in his defense, there's been no one to replace him to this point. But that's changing.
That's changing. And I want to see that change. Now that we have that option to replace him, I want him gone. And I understand that fans listening to this show are going to say, you've wanted him gone since the first week of spring training. That's true. I didn't think he could pitch. But now the numbers bear out that he cannot pitch as a starting pitcher once guys get a read on his number one option. He's great when you're swinging and missing at his fastball. The second they climb up his fastball, it's over.
You know, it's absolutely insane, like, what has turned into the targets that people have wanted in the offseason. Bauer, I mean, enough said about him. Kluber, he might have died. I don't even know. Jake Odorizzi was another name that they're
5-1 ERA.
And he's let up like 6 home runs or something insane in his last like 12 or 13 innings pitched. Yeah, who else? I don't know if there were anyone else, but
Quintara. He's not even in the big league.
Quintana,
anymore.
Yeah. Jesus. Yeah, that's another one that was terrible. Like, they really wouldn't have been better served with any of these guys.
Well, Taiwan Walker is a guy I liked, has a 3.86 ERA right now with the Mets.
I don't think he was going to come to Boston.
I just think
that's.
Well, nobody signed him until late. I think he was willing to sign just about anywhere. Like, he was on Twitter telling people, yeah, I'm still available.
When we did our show, the three of us and Charlie and Jason, all five of us were on the show, and we talked about who the starting pitchers were that we wanted and didn't want. I think he made one person's list. It was yours, you think?
Taiwan, you mean?
Taiwan.
Yeah. Won. Yeah.
Well, I want to watch. I just never thought that. I didn't think he would have signed with Boston.
The rest of us didn't think it was a possibility.
For other reasons. I didn't think he would come here.
Well, he was on Twitter telling people, yo, I'm still available. You know, it was an extremely late signing.
It would have been great. And looking back on it, he would have been the best option. But of all the possibilities, the chances we got the right one, it's like 1 in 8.
We failed. And until they banned, you know, Spider Tech, Richards was actually pretty solid. I mean, all things considered, it's been so long that we don't even recall it, but he wasn't actually half bad.
He was throwing to a 3.7 there for a while, and I was using my words. I had one episode where I was like, oh, well, Andrew was right, and I'm sorry, and no, it turns out Andrew was wrong, and I was right, and this guy can't pitch. But my thought process, and I don't know if either of you agree with this, is that his fastball is great. But if you time up his fastball and he just gets frustrated, the wheels fall off. He's a mental case. I can't even think of a pitcher that was like that for the Red Sox in the past 10 years, with the exception of Clay Buchholz. It's like the wheels come off, the wheels really, really come off. And I just don't have room for that when we have other options. And right now, those other options are ready. What were Connor Siebold's stats this week that you were talking about, Andrew? They were great. I mean,
yeah, and he was stretched out a little bit more.
In the 30 percentile, right? So I'm ready for this kid. And I know Charlie's ready to give up on the season. Terry, I don't know where you are as far as giving up on the season. I hope you're not.
He wants to get it before they get the one win that would kill his under on the season.
What's
that's
that?
Probably what it is. Are you ready to give up on the Red Sox? I mean, Charlie's ready.
I'm still hoping we're gonna at least contend for the division. Well, these next 7 games are definitely key, and then we've got probably the easiest schedule after the Tampa series that we've had all season. So I'm just hoping we can make the most of that. One thing about Odorizzi, though, he did get lit up for 6 runs, I think yesterday, but coming into that start, since the 1st of June, 3.73 ERA, he's going to be winning baseball games for the Astros this October, and I would have signed him. It wouldn't have worked out good the first couple of months.
He was on top of everybody's list.
Yeah.
Garrett Richards wasn't.
He got paid, though. That's I don't know.
Yeah, he got, what, $16 million a year? I still would have done it.
For a few years,
And that was before we...
For 3 years.
Yeah. Something like that, but you know, and that was before we took on the $9 million from Ottavino. So I would have done it. I still would have done it.
We still would have needed we still would have needed a setup guy. I feel like all the moves looking back were the right moves until now. This next week tells me more about Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora. Well, maybe not Alex Cora.
I think it's all on Cora now. Bloom's not adding anybody.
If that was the time frame, that was actually genius. If these guys patchworked it together until all the reinforcements came, I mean, that's actually pretty impressive.
This week is going to tell me more about Chaim Bloom and Alex Cora as a tandem, as a team, than any week, including trade deadline week, including free agency, that we have ever had. Because if they're on the same page and Chaim Bloom makes some moves here to get Siebold in the rotation, to get Cora the right pieces, and Cora can execute it to where the rotation gets us through these next 7 games with a 4-3 record or a 5-2 record, you know, possibly would be fantastic, then I look at this season as a success for those two guys. Because at that point, you've done everything you possibly can. You've played every single chess move in the book. But if Siebold this time next week is in AAA and we go 3-4, I'm on the fire Chaim Bloom train. I'm ready to start, like, pitchforks and torches, and it's over for Chaim Bloom, as far as I'm concerned.
As a, I mean, as a he literally just rebuilt the entire farm system.
I don't care. He's overachieved with the team to this point.
Yeah.
He's earned leeway. But if he leaves bullets in the chamber and this team fades down the stretch.
Cora tells him the guys he wants as well.
And
it's not just.
No, I understand that. That's why I said them as a team.
Firing a GM would be the dumbest decision you would ever do if you didn't let a guy work his full 6 years on a contract. Because.
Well, let me say this. He's not getting fired. There's no scenario in which he gets fired.
I don't think he is either.
Let me say this, though.
Yes, man.
I'm not convinced he's a big league GM, though. Yeah, he'll build the Fort Knox of farm systems. So he's doing that right now.
Tampa's doing. Everyone was so afraid that he'd make us Tampa North. Everyone wants to be Tampa. Look what he did with all the trades. Their entire team is a wagon because of the moves he made.
I don't disagree, Andrew. What I look at is my leash as a fan for a general manager is 3 years to do something. Like, just get us to the playoffs.
I wish you were alive during the Dan Duquette days. I really do. Pre-2004, suck dick. Let me tell you that. It wasn't great.
We'd be doing cartwheels, but we live in an era in Boston
of an entitlement era
and winning. And it's not.
We all saw those stupid ass banners that they hang in Logan Airport. Pittsburgh living in a past where we're Sixburg. It's like, no, all right. let's pump the brakes.
Ben Charrington won us a title.
Did he?
And he was fired at the right time.
Yeah, hang on. So
did he overstay his welcome?
Bloom's going to take the longest route to a championship that anyone in the World Series era has had, and that's if he wins the championship.
I don't hate Chaim Bloom being with his team. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, I as a fan, I'm going to be over the Chaim Bloom is good talk. Chaim Bloom's an okay to average GM if we don't make the playoffs this season now.
He just built us a top 10 farm system with giving up nothing.
Andrew, you're the farm guy, and I don't want to argue about who's good and who's not on the farm. But Terry and I look at the farm system the same way. The farm system is there to win titles in Boston. I don't care if Worcester.
All right, then fine. Trade them all, and you can have your players, and then you're in the same position that you were last year because Dave Dombrowski salted the earth after burning the city.
I'm more
in the middle of you two. I'm more kind of in the. You guys are on your spectrums, and I'm kind of in the middle.
No, we could easily go in and trade Tristan Casas in the offseason and get a great player.
I wouldn't either.
You could trade Jeter Downs. You could move Marcelo Meyer.
I would trade Jeter Downs.
Yeah, I have no problem trading Downs since the guys Bloom brought in seem to be studs. In Nick York, taking over as the next great second baseman. But
here's the thing, though. Tampa's having a good year because we don't have – our team isn't what it normally is. We're not robust. New York's sputtering. They've got all kinds of issues. Toronto didn't have the greatest roster to start the season. That's why Tampa's winning the division right now. I'm not sold that Bloom's going to balance everything out the right way and that the right guys are necessarily going to be brought in.
I'm not sold on that.
I want to be wrong on that, Terry.
I'm talking about this season. If the right moves aren't made for the next 2 to 3 weeks to bring you to the playoffs, then all of a sudden this overachieving narrative, these Red Sox who don't give up the fight in this team, doesn't matter. I want entertaining baseball all the way through to the end of September.
Playing in the ALDS is a massive fail. I'll say that.
And the pieces the pieces to get us to the ALDS are now in place. Thank Chaim Bloom for that. Understood. But if you don't play it right from here to the end of September, is that not a failure? To me, I mean,
he got the pieces to do it. He got, what, the second best bat that moved on the market in the All-Star break while giving up the least?
No, I think he has the right pieces. I just want to see it all put together, mostly in the rotation. I don't want to see Garrett Richards and Martin Perez out there again.
No one does. And
then I'm going to be pissed. And
well, if guys like Seabold and Sale are clearly ready and they're not bringing them up, then that's a different thing. But it's not like it's a service time issue with that. Both of those guys will be up if the scouts say they're ready, if the development coaches say they're ready. I mean, it's not just a straight line that goes with all that. And I don't think they're going to pitter-patter around it either. They're going to go for it. They know they have an opportunity to win.
I thought they were going to go for it too. I hope they are. I think they will. I'm just I want it clearly out there that if we get to the end of September and Connor Seabold is sitting in AAA the way that Charlie wants him to and we don't make the playoffs – then I'm all out on Heim Bloom. You can have the greatest farm system in the world. Go build it in Japan.
I just hope he's not. We know what championship teams look like. So I don't want to do it the hard way. I want the right guys to be traded at the right time. The right guys to be hung on to, like Tristan Casas, for example. And I don't want any stupid signings. I don't want a Mookie Betts contract ever on my payroll. I don't want that. Devers
what
might if it's cost.
Mike Trout? Would you trade for Mike Trout right now?
If they ate some money. If they ate some money.
Would you take the Mike contract? The Mike Trout contract?
No, not as it is. I wouldn't.
I would.
I wouldn't do it
in a heartbeat.
Reason I would is they would make all that money back in a week. But the thing you got to look at, like he has signed the right guys outside of a guy like Richards. I mean. There was a big debate. It was like, why did he sign Hunter Renfro instead of David Dahl? David Dahl was just DFA'd the other day. And it's just moves like that with limited budget that he's made. And now, you know, if they stay under the CBA this season, they can keep going over. And if they go over, they can still let Devers play out his entire arbitration because you're 2020. Well, hear me out. Because if they stack the contracts correctly, the entire 2024 team with your top prospects in this system that you pulled in the last 2 years, they're coming up in 2024, and you're paying nothing for 6 years off those guys.
If they all work out, but...
And they're looking pretty good.
Even if half of them work out, you're still paying nothing. Understandable, but...
And Cat, I mean...
Go ahead, Andrew.
And well, I was going to say, I mean, you look at your infield, I think we can say with 80% confidence that Meyer should work out. I mean, that would be horrible. Casas, there's another one. I'm not counting on Nick York yet. He's still super young, but he's looking pretty damn good. There's Devers. And even if Devers, at that point, you have to pay $35 million, your infield costs a total of $37 million. Yeah. So there's a lot of room to maneuver there.
I think Devers is going to end up in the 300 range now. I mean, it wouldn't have been that way last winter, but...
I don't think he had incentive to sign, but that's a different conversation.
Yeah, I think he would have.
I look at it, and 2021 Red Sox right now are my focus. And I understand not breaking the bank. I understand not going out and giving up all your prospects for Berrios. That would have been a horrendous overpay.
I wouldn't have done that either.
But I think Heim Bloom has so far made the right moves. So far, Heim Bloom for me on this season has made the right moves at every position except first base. Then he's got to be a B average for me, B plus average on the season for me. Especially with the draft that he just pulled together, even without Fabian. But I have zero patience for AAA and AA wins. I want it to translate to success for the 22, 23 Red Sox and the 2021 Red Sox. We need to at least play in the ALDS, and I think the pieces are there. I just want them to be played correctly. And the real reason I say I'm out on Heim Bloom, Andrew, is because I can't be out on John Henry and Larry Lucchino and co. If I could say I want owners who are going to spend their money and not worry about the luxury tax so we can go get Schwarber and Rizzo, hell yes, that's what I want. If Schwarber is your fourth outfielder and Anthony Rizzo's at first base right now, and you gave up like your number 7 and number 10 prospects, it's a little bit of an overpay. But then you're talking about ALCS, maybe even making it to the World Series. If everyone's healthy and the kids are good.
Blame the league for that. I hate the cap. I think it's really, God, I almost swore, really stupid. I think a salary floor at $120 million would be a lot better for the league. They'd be a lot better for the fans. And I can get really into a rant on this.
I agree with that, too.
Players. Yeah. It's absurd. I mean, I can go to the Rockies game. I could have went today for $6. Like, are you kidding me? Because no one gives a shit. Like, you go to these small markets. Hey, you just had to leave. You know, you couldn't go to a game for a year and a half because of COVID. Welcome back, by the way. We just traded the best 5 players. Come back in 2025 when we're, you know, might be good. Get rid of the cap. And honestly, if this CBA does away with something like that, it's going to be a game changer because the Red Sox can fight, like they can flex their muscles again, which I think they would. I don't even know if the Yankees would anymore. And then you have the 2 California teams that matter that would. I don't know. It's a lot more fun when you don't have to worry about the bottom line and getting taxed and giving that to the poverty franchises that just take in other teams' fans through the turnstiles and charge $20 for a beer. And you give them extra draft picks, all that revenue sharing. It's a joke.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. Just to leave it there for me, I want this team to be competitive, which is they've already given me that to this point. This is what we asked for, right, Terry? I mean, you and I, neither of us thought they were going to win 90 games.
I didn't think I thought they were going to win 78, but.
But I was hoping for a competitive July and August. Here we are in mid-August, and now I'm hoping for more. Is that unrealistic of me? Yes. Am I an asshole for that? Probably.
Here's the thing. Care. We haven't seen – 1 week ago today, we sat on this podcast after we had to re-record an episode because of the Schwarber news. And in that second episode, we said a big move was probably going to happen. That's what we expected. All three of us agreed that there was one more move to come, and it didn't happen. We have not seen Heim Bloom have a signature moment yet. We haven't seen that Bloom magic that we were hoping we would see. So we're going to have to wait till this winter to do it. And I just hope we did enough. I hope we get through the Toronto series, the Tampa series at roughly 500. And it's a lot to ask for the stars to align, for Schwarber to work out at first, for Sale to be the ace he's always been, for Hauk or Seabold to pitch like a middle of the rotation guy. All these other teams made great moves. In fact, they made better moves than the Red Sox did. We got outworked last week, and so that's disappointing. But I've been wrong about a number of things, and I hope they prove me wrong coming down the stretch here. It's good for the podcast, you know. When the team does better, the podcast does better, and that's what I'm rooting for. That's what I want to see happen. But it's been lackluster so far. So we'll see. We're going to wrap on that because we went way over on just – I didn't think we were going to be bickering about Heim Bloom. Job kind of ambushed us with that. But
sorry.
It was good. It was good. It was an entertaining segment. So again, we will be back Sunday night to record the Toronto episode that will be up by your Monday morning commute. Everybody have a great weekend. Take care.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.